love, dear reader.
I had to check that real quick. Hi, my name is Corey Johnson. I'm one of the teaching pastors here at Shelter Rock Church, and I'm thrilled to be with you today. And I just want to say thank you for coming out today. Today we're continuing in our teaching series called Loving Me, Loving You. And what we've been doing is that we've been taking a journey through the book of Ephesians, and we've been looking at the relationships, the different relationships we have. And we've been seeing what Paul has to say about that. We've been looking at what the Bible has to say about the different relationships that we engage in. So we first started out with the husband and wife relationship. Last week we looked at the parent-child relationship. And now today we're going to be looking at the child-parent relationship. All right? So the topic that we're going to be focusing on today is the good child. The good child. And right away, you know, there are some of us who are saying, okay, the good child, really, Pastor, the good child, yeah, get it. There's no such thing as the perfect child, because how many of us in here were once kids? I need to see everybody's hands go up, because there's no way you came out of the womb just like that. Right? And we all know that, you know, we weren't the most perfect kid there was, right? We gave our moms and our dads trouble, right? And some of us, we still are doing that, but I leave that alone, right? But we're not here, we're not talking about the perfect child today. We're talking about the good child. And the idea here is that there are certain behavior patterns that God expects children to display towards their parent. And the extent to which a child does that, he's considered a good child. He or she is considered a good child in the eyes of God. Amen? So that's what we're going to be talking about today. So, if you have your Bibles handy, could you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 3? If you don't have your Bibles, it's going to be on the screen. It says, "Children, obey your parent in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy life, long life on the earth." I don't know about you, but for some reason, it seems as though raising children in today's culture is harder than it has ever been. And anyone can agree with that? And I think part of that has to do with just the way our culture and our society is going. Things are very different now than they were when we were younger. And things are even changing at an alarming rate. Just 10, 20 years ago, things that were once considered normal are now intolerable, and things that were considered shameful back then are now normal. And now things seems to be upside down, right? And I think that's one of the primary reasons why it's hard to raise children in our cultures, because everything is ever changing, and the values that are being pushed in our society is not necessarily consistent with the biblical worldview, with our Christian values. Amen? Amen. And so in today's culture, in today's society, the function of the parent is more critical than it has ever been. And the parent and the family dynamic, if you will, there are two primary functions that a family serves. The first is that the family is the place where values are established and transferred to the next generation. The family is a place where values are established and transferred to the next generation. And this is especially critical for the believer, because it's where we teach our children to love God and to love Jesus, and we do our best to model the grace that is found in Jesus Christ. Amen? Secondly, the family is the place where the child first experiences what community means, what it means to live in community. And the extent to which that child adheres to the rules and regulations of this smaller community is the extent to which that child will function well in the larger community. Amen? Because the family is a subset of the larger culture. As such, the Bible has a lot to say to our children. It has a lot to say to us as parents as to what it means to exhibit the different patterns of behavior that God considers good. So before we move forward, let's pray. Is that okay? Let's pray. Bow your heads with me. Dear God, we just want to say thank you for allowing us to be here in your presence this morning. We're so thankful that you are our King, you are our Redeemer, you are our Lord. And this morning, God, as we try to be good stewards of the relationships that you've blessed us with, I pray, dear Holy Spirit, that you'll open up our hearts this morning, open up our minds to be receptive to what you have to say to us. And help us, oh God, not to look at somebody else and judge what they're going through, but let us examine our own heart. Let us examine our own relationship and see, God, if it measures up. And if it doesn't, God, give us the strength, oh God, to do the right thing. Will you bless us today? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So before I continue, I want to talk about this idea of order. Everything in life has an order. From the way you prepare your food, to the way you get dressed in the morning, to even the way you brush your teeth. Everything in life has an order. And God has also established order in the family. God has established order in the family. And whenever we violate that order, it has a tendency to spill over into our society at large. And the order that God has established for the family is this. First, there is God. He's the ultimate one to whom everyone will submit one day. Secondly, there is the parent. There's the mother. There's the father. And I think 2 weeks ago, we talked about the idea of mutual submission, where the husband and the wife, they ought to mutually submit to each other as they in turn submit to God. And then finally, there's the child. The child submits to the parent. And that's the order of that God has established. And many times in our raising our children, we have a tendency to invert that order, where we are the ones submitting to our children as opposed to our children submitting to us. And that's a violation of God's order. Amen? So what we're going to do, now that we understand the order that God has established, let's delve into the Word and see what God has to say about what it means to be a good child. The first command that God gives is that children ought to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. Right? Paul's instruction to children is simple. Children, obey your parents. And even though this is a simple idea, it's one that is hard to get across to children, isn't it? You're not talking to me this morning. Okay, it's all right. It's hard to get across to children, isn't it? Right? I think there is something that we have to understand, that when a child is young, they are under the guardianship of their parents. They are under the guardianship of their parents. And when they're under the guardianship of their parents, God says that the attitude or the behavior patterns that is consistent with being a good child is that this child ought to be obedient to their parents. That's what a good child does. A good child obeys his or her parent. Now, being obedient is a big thing in God's economy. It's a big thing in God's economy. And Jesus gave a simple parable in Matthew 21, verse 28 to 31, where he's illustrating what it means to be obedient. Matthew 21, verse 28 to 31, and it reads, "What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work today in the vineyard.'" This is what the first says. It says, "I will not," he answered, but later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, "I will, sir," but he did not go. Let me ask you a question. Talk back to me now. Who was obedient? The first or the second? Somebody said the second. Really? Okay, let's try that again. Who was obedient, the first or the second? Somebody said the first. Okay. Right? Why was he obedient? Why was he obedient? He went and he did, right? His initial response was, "No, Daddy, I'm not going to do that." But somewhere along the line, he changed his mind and he did what his father told him to do. The first one, on the other hand, he said, "Daddy, I'm going to go and I'm going to do what you tell me to do." But he didn't. The first was obedient. This raises, I have three children, and trust me, I know what I'm talking about here. Right? Children, obedience is not just listening. Because many times when you tell your child to do something, more often than not, they listen, they nod their heads, right? And you think that they're going to do what you tell them to do, but no, they just go off and just do nothing. Right? And also, obedience is not just doing, because quite often we give our children instructions and then they go off and do their own thing. Talk back to me, parents, yes? Okay. Obedience then is both listening and doing. It's listening and doing. And quite often, I believe that children, you know, are confused about this, because sometimes when we ask children to do something, we normally ask them in the form of a question. Say, honey, can you take out the garbage, please? And or Mike, can you change the bathroom sink or something? And the child is like, they're like, okay, mommy, do I have an option here? Okay, what if I don't want to do this? Or, okay, I don't feel like doing it. Do I have to do it right now? And it's confusing in the mind of the child. So depending on the nature of the child, no, you have to be more direct. You have to be more clear. Honey, I want you to do this right now. You don't have to be aggressive about it. You don't have to be confrontational about it. No, you just, with a firm voice, with a direct voice, state what it is you want to do. Because sometimes, you know, when we go through that asking business, you know, 15 minutes down the road, 20 minutes down the road, 2 days down the road, a month down the road, the child still hasn't done what you told him to do. And there's a big argument. And all of that could have been avoided. Amen? So just be clear. I know asking a question is polite, but quite often, depending on the nature of the child, that is not always a good form of communication. Amen? Amen. So now that we know what obedience is both listening and doing what is being asked of you. The question is now, why is obedience important? Parents, teaching your children to be obedient is one of the most important jobs you have as a parent. Why? First of all, number one, when children are young, they don't know how to discern good from evil. They don't know how to discern right from wrong. And in their obeying you, they are learning to distinguish between the two. Does that make sense? Children, when they are young, they don't know how to discern between right and wrong. And in their obeying you, they are learning to distinguish between the two. That's why Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Because the assumption there is that whoever is asking the child to do something is asking the child to do the right thing. And as the child does the right thing, he or she is developing a pattern. He or she is developing their ability to discern right from wrong. They're developing that. Back home in Jamaica, where I grew up, where I was born and raised, you know, they used to have a saying, you know, children are seen but not heard. And that's a whole other discussion here. But they had a principle. And the principle is this. Children live what they learn. Children live what they learn. And so if you want your child to reflect the principles and the ideas that is found in the Bible, then you have to teach them how to be obedient in those things, like righteousness and truth and justice. Amen? Amen? So number one, children lack the ability to discern right from wrong. Number two, young children don't easily see that choices have consequence. They don't easily see that. Because choices, if you will, and the matters of the heart are like seeds. You plant them, but they don't germinate the next day, or they don't germinate instantly. They take years and years upon years to develop. It's quite different though, because whenever you tell your child, honey, don't touch the hot stove, what do? They touch the stove. it's like you tell them, honey, don't cross the road, and they cross the road, right? But when the stove is hot and you say, honey, don't touch the hot stove, and they touch it, they get instant feedback. Somebody say instant feedback. Come on, talk to me. Instant feedback. So now, if they touch the stove, they get instant feedback, and they know if they touch the stove again, they're going to get burned. So what? They learn not to touch the stove. choices and matters of the heart is different. It's like a seed that is planted. And if the child continues in that pattern of behavior and they are not checked and they are not corrected, after a while that seed germinates, it grows. And before you know it, you have a tree that you can prune or manage. And so your job as a parent is to provide instant feedback to that child whenever he or she is being disobedient. And that's why the way you discipline them in a measured way, amen, and in a consistent way, so that they can get instant feedback, amen? So parents, you provide instant feedback, amen? Number three, children need to learn the value of submitting to authority. Children need to learn the value of submitting to authority. I have three kids, the first one, when she came home, she was, oh, goody, goody. I mean, you know, you put her in the army, you could, like, wow, look at this little angel. And that was the case between 0 and 1, but by the time they hit 2, that this angel became a rebel. Yeah, it happens, and every word that comes out of their mouth is no. No. Honey, go to your room. No. Honey, clean up. No, no, no. They become rebels. Am I the only one? All right, good. And as small as they are, what they're doing is that they are challenging your authority. And if you submit to it, oh my goodness, there's going to be some conflict ahead. Amen? There's going to be some conflict ahead. This is important because that's just the way children are. They after a while they rebel, and after a while they go through the cycle where they're trying to find themselves and they're trying to find their identity and they're rebelling and they're pushing back. But you have to show them that, listen, the value of submitting to authority. Why? Because when they go in the workplace, when they go in the school, when they go in the public square, guess what? That's the way our society is structured. And if you don't submit to authority, you're not going to live a peaceful life. You're not going to lead a successful life. And the same thing is true in the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen? Number one, children lack the ability to discern right from wrong. Number two, children don't easily see that choices have consequences. And number three, children need to learn the value of submitting to authority. Amen? So for these and other reasons, Paul tells children that they need to obey their parents. And the reality is that submitting is really submitting your will to the will of another person. Submitting, obedience is really submitting your will, submitting your desire to desires and the will of another person. And this is what Jesus modeled for us. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 to 8, the Bible says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petition with fervent cry and tears to the one who could save him from death. He's talking about to God the Father. And he was heard for his reverent submission. The reason why he was heard was that he submitted his will, he submitted his desires to God the Father. And in verse 8 is critical. It says, son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. This is what Jesus modeled for us. What this is telling me is that obedience is not automatic. It's something that has to be learned. Amen? It's something that has to be learned. So, when children are younger and they're under the guardianship of their parents, Paul says, listen, there is a vertical submission. You have to be obedient to your parents. When I was growing up, one of my mother's favorite word was, boy, I put you in this world and I will take you out. Okay, you can't say that today. Don't say that to your kids today, all right? And you learn how to be obedient real quick, all right? So if you're under your parents' guardianship, God says the good child obeys his or her parent, all right? That's in the early stage. In the latter stage, as children transition from being a child to transition to being adults, the relationship changes. It moves from a vertical relationship to a horizontal relationship. And the parent role shifts from being an instructor to being an advisor. Shifts from being an instructor where you're telling your child what to do to being an instructor. And some parents don't transition well in this period because your child is 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years old, and you're still trying to control their lives, and that doesn't work too well, does it? And some parents say, amen. It doesn't work too well. Your role shifts from being an instructor to being an advisor. And the parent, and the godly parent who nurtures that child, they can become a wellspring of wisdom and knowledge as that child transitioned into adulthood and comes to the parent and say, Mommy, Daddy, I'm going through this. How would you do this? Or I'm struggling on the job. What's your take on this? Your job there is not to tell them what to do. Your job there is to advise them. And in this latter stage, in this later stage, Paul says to children in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. But he goes on to say, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Honor your mother and father, which is the first commandment with a promise. And this idea of honoring your mother and father, this is very serious to God. Because as the children of Israel were shifting out of bondage, out of slavery, and shifting into the promised land and moving into a new season, God gave them this commandment. It's the fifth commandment in the Ten Commandments. He gave them this commandment and said, I want you to treat your parents differently from how the culture around you are going to treat their parents. I want you to honor your mother and father. And Jesus picks this up in St. Matthew 15 as he's addressing some of the religious leaders of the day. He says, the religious leaders, you know, Jesus was, you know, picked some corn and was eating it, and, you know, the religious leader said, how is it that you're elevating or breaking the tradition of the elders? And Jesus replied and said, and why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, if anyone declares what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their father and mother with it. Thus, you have nullified the word of God for the sake of your tradition. What is happening here? The idea here is that God instructed the children to honor their mother and father, and one way of doing that is by taking care of the needs of the parent. And what Jesus is saying here is that when you tell people that, okay, this money that was supposed to take care of the need of the parent, okay, you can now give it to the church, and therefore it absolves you of that responsibility of taking care of your parent, what you're actually doing is that you're elevating your tradition above the tradition of God and nullifying the word of God. Does that make sense? Right? So this idea of honoring your mother and father, it's very important to God. It's very important to God. And when we think of the word honor, it means to value or to hold someone in high regard or in high esteem. It means to hold someone, it means to value someone in high regard or in high esteem. Right? Question is, notice here that when Paul talks about honoring your mother and father, notice that he did not qualify his statement. He did not qualify his statement. Because when you honor your mother and father, another way of thinking about that is that you think and you act well and you speak well about them. Right? Honoring your parents. It means to think, to act, or to speak well about them. But notice here that Paul does not qualify his statement about which parent ought to be honored. He says, honor your mother and father. Why? Because it's the first commandment with promise. But not only that, the promise is twofold. The promise is twofold. Number one, that it might go well with you. And that number two, you may live long on the earth. How many of us want it to go well with us? Okay. One way that things can go well with you is if you honor your mother and father. How many of us want to have a long life? So I'm like, okay, I don't want to be old and walking around. But long life is considered a blessing. Amen? It's considered a blessing. And so Paul is saying that if you want to invite the blessings, if you want to invite the favor of God in your life, honor your mother and father. The good child honors his or her parent. This raises a very important question, one that I've struggled with personally. How do I honor a parent who seem to be undeserving of honor? How do I honor a parent who seem to be undeserving of honor? Because the reality is, if I take a survey, some of us here, we grew up with a very rough childhood. Some of us, our parents were not the best of parents, if you will. Some of us, we were abused. Some of us, we were neglected. Some of us, we were rejected. That was our experience. That was my experience. I don't share my story much, but I just want to give you a taste of it. When I was talking to my mom a few years ago, and she was saying that when she was pregnant with me, there were people around her who were pressuring her to get an abortion. And the pressure was so much that she passed out. And she was in a quasi-coma state for a few months while she was pregnant with me. And today she's glad, and I'm glad that she didn't have an abortion. But at a very young age, my biological father didn't want to have anything to do with me. Nothing to do with me. And I actually didn't get a chance to meet him until I was 26 years old. 26 years old, even though he was just a few miles away from me. And going through all of that, I grew up with a stepfather who was a drunk, he was abusive and everything like that. And I really didn't understand what was going on with me until I was in my early 30s, because there were some things that was going on in my life. I'm like, God, what is going on here? Why am I becoming this person? Why am I going through these things? By now, I thought I would have gotten over these things, but I didn't. God took me through a journey in my past where I had to deal with some things. See, I'm not telling you that story for you to feel sorry for me. I'm telling you that story so that you can understand that in Christ Jesus, you can get healing for whatever it is that you've been through. Yes, give God a praise for that, because some of us here needs to understand that this morning. You can be healed from the hurt of your past. You can be healed from the hurt of your past in Christ Jesus. And the question now becomes, how do we honor our parents when they weren't the best of parents? My stepfather, he passed away last year. And the irony is, I have another brother, and I was the only one who was able to attend his funeral. That was the irony. And as I sat there and started to reminisce, I became thankful. Because you know what? Even though the situation wasn't the best of situations, I had a place to sleep. I had food to eat. We were able to go to school. We got an education. It wasn't the ideal family situation, but guess what? I was thankful. And so this morning, if you find yourself in that situation and you want to move forward, the starting point is be thankful. If you don't know how to honor your parents or your mother or father who've hurt you in the past, let me tell you, be thankful. It starts with that. Number two, forgive. As believers of Jesus Christ, we are called to forgive. It might take a while to get over the hurt. It might take a while to get over the pain, but you're called to forgive. And number three, choose life. Choose life. One of the abilities that God has given us as human beings is the ability to choose. And no matter what happens to you, regardless of how horrific it is, you have the ability to choose. And you can choose life. Amen? Amen? Amen. This morning, there's no qualification that is placed on the type of parent to honor. Because at the end of the day, the issue is not between you and your parent. The issue is between you and God. The question is, are you going to obey God's command to honor your parent or not? And the reality is that if you want to invite the blessings, if you want to invite the favor of God in your life, honor your parents. It's never too late. It's never too late. Some of us today, it means you're probably going to have to give them a phone call and say, hey, moms, how are you doing? Hey, dad, how are you doing? I know things haven't been, you know, well between us, but I just wanted to touch base with you. Some of us, God has blessed us with abundance, with resources. Sometimes it's going to mean, hey, mommy, can I take care of a bill? Can I pay this bill for you on a monthly basis? For some of us, our parents have passed, and the question is, how can I honor them when they have passed? You can start thinking well of them. You can start speaking well of them. It's never too late. Amen? Amen. Could you stand to your feet with me this morning? I don't know what you're going through this morning, but I'm here to tell you that Jesus can make the difference in your life. He can make the difference in your life. Bow your heads with me. Sometimes we're going through turmoil and we don't know where it comes from. Sometimes we're going through pain and issues, we don't know where it comes from. Could it be that we have not been doing what God tells us to do? Could it be that we've been dishonoring our parents and we don't even know it? Wherever you are, bow your heads. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for your instructions to our hearts this morning, God. God, I pray for every person that is in this place this morning, God. Wherever they are, you know. I don't know, but you know. And I pray, dear God, that you will create that soft spot in their heart, God, where they will begin to yield. They begin to submit to your word, to your truth. Because, God, you want to heal us. You want to restore us. You want to bring us from one level to the next. And the only way that we can transition into your favor, transition into your blessing, is if we obey your commandments. Teach us this morning, God, how to obey our parents. Teach us this morning, God, how to honor our parents as we seek to honor you, as we seek to glorify you, God. In Jesus' name we pray.